Hello, Gary.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everyone. Is someone on the air besides Ashley?
Daryl's here.
Okay, Daryl, hang on loose, buddy. I'll be with you in just a minute, okay?
Yes,
cool.
Sir.
All right. Thank you for being on. Good evening, everyone. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and welcome to the AMAA Masters Radio Network and show that we do weekly every Tuesday. Tonight, I have a saddened heart, and I have to open up with something I really don't like doing, but it needs to be done because we lost a great warrior a couple of days ago. Original history general for the Sport Karate Museum, Joe Lewis's first black belt in America, member of the Tracy Incredible International Karate Team, and master karate instructor, sheriff, just an incredible human being. And I'm talking about Master Roger Green. I'd like to spend our 30 seconds of tribute or silence to one of the great karate men of America in our time. Original pioneer. So 30 seconds for my our dear friend, Roger Green. Thank you. All right, thank you guys for sharing that with me, and we'll have a special place for Roger this year at Living Legends, along with the other Karate Angels. Welcome to our show. We're here on a Tuesday night with you, and we've got a really fun show tonight because it kind of goes in tail with what I'm doing this year. Of course, most of you follow me on the Facebook or the social media. We're doing the Power of Women. And one of my special guests tonight is one of those ladies we're honoring in this, Ashley Tyler Wood, or Ashley Wood Tyler. I get it messed up, but, you know, the bottom, I made her laugh. That's good. That's a good start. But I'm going to bring her on in just a few minutes. Before I do, I've got a couple announcements. I hope Mark Shuey gets on. I know he's trying probably, but I'm going to try to get him a number so he can get on. I got Daryl Stewart on. We're going to talk about the Universal Hall of Fame. In fact, I tell you what, let's go into that right now. Daryl Stewart, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Daryl, how are you, my partner in crime, man? How you doing, man? One of my original history generals. How you doing tonight, brother?
Doing great. Doing great. Good to hear you on the radio. Good to hear Ashley on the radio. And hopefully we'll talk to Mark here in a few minutes.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I'm going to give him a number here so he can call in. But I understand you went to the river walk or the river run this weekend, huh?
Yeah, I went down to New Braunfels and we floated the river and had a great time with family and friends and needed the time off. Laid out in the water and it was just really nice.
So you had some fun, huh? Cool.
Had some fun.
So did you go down the river in the tube? Is that what you did?
Oh, yeah,
that's
okay. What
you do. Well, I know you got an event coming up here pretty soon. It's going to be, you've done it for quite a few years. In fact, I'm an alumni of these guys, and it's the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and it's put on by one of the great martial artists of our time, Severa Guerrera. Now, I know that you are his executive vice president or something or another, aren't you? I mean, I know you got a big deal with it and everything. I go through you to do all the things with it. But you got some ideas for me. What's going on this year besides, I understand that Gary Lee is going to be doing a demonstration, not a demonstration, but a seminar, and the museum will be there. Besides that, though, what else is going on?
Well, we have quite a few seminars planned for Thursday and Friday. And that'll be happening from about 10 to 4 both days, according to when the, some of the masters get in there. Saturday, we have a big karate tournament, and we'll have karate and stick fighting that day. And hopefully we can get a lot of people there to participate in it. And spectators, we're looking for all of them, and I hope that they do come. That night, we have the awards banquet and dinner, and we'll have demos and stuff that night, too. So it'll be interesting for all the people there and for the people that's coming from all over. We got people coming from not just here in the United States, but all over the world and stuff. So it's going to be really good. And looking forward to seeing a lot of people.
I know that he has. I know he has. I mean, people literally from all around the world come to his event. That's pretty cool. Now, to come to the dinner, just to be a spectator, just come to the dinner. What does it cost for that? I think it's $99, correct?
Yes, $99 for the dinner that night, and for the tournament that day, it's $15 for a spectator, and you'll see some really great people performing, and you will really enjoy yourself. So hopefully we'll get a bunch of people to come out. And it's going to be at the Marriott there by Hobby Airport on I-45. So you can fly into Hobby Airport, and it's just right there.
Well, it is. It'd be right there, honey. That's cool. So how long has the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame been in existence? I know it's been around because I was involved with it in the early 90s. How long has Mr. Guerrero has done that?
I want to say, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I think about 35, maybe 40 years. I mean, he's been doing it a long time now.
That's what I'm saying. It is one of the oldest, if not one of the original guys, right after the Black Belt Magazine guys that started doing, you know, after they quit doing their things. So
that's true. One of the oldest Hall of Fame areas.
That right there is my dear friend who you broke his arm, Jim Buten, has told me. That's longevity. You know, that's you know, to do something for 35 years, that's pretty cool, you know?
Absolutely. And every year we get to honor quite a few people coming in, and it's always an honor for me to meet all of these people from all over, because they've been giving of their lives and of their self for all of these many, many years.
Well, you know, I heard a rumor that you and Grandmaster Guerrero are receiving something really special from the Sport Karate Museum this year. That's all I heard. I just heard a rumor. But
really?
That's what I heard. I mean, it's just a rumor, okay? You know how rumors are on the Internet, right? You believe everything you hear on the Internet, right? So,
oh, yeah. I seen one slapping somebody with a spatula the other day.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see you in a couple of weeks at the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And big shout out to Grandmaster Severo Guerrero and all the work that he does. And I'm excited about being a part of it this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, Daryl. Okay?
Okay. And Severo said welcome, everybody, and he'd look forward to seeing you there. It's a 22nd annual event, so it's going to be a great event.
Well, it will be. And the Sport Karate Museum will have a three-table display, one of the largest ones in the country. It'll be displayed at that. He always has to have a really big display. We'll also be doing seminars. I'll be doing a sword seminar there for people on Friday and other incredible seminars. So thank you, Daryl, for being on the show. Thank you for plugging it. God bless you, man. I'll see you in a couple weeks, okay?
Okay, man. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Super. All right. Hey, I'm going to bring up my guest now. I've got this incredible lady that I've known since she was, I want to say she was like 7 years old, I believe. Maybe
think
younger.
Earlier than that.
Okay, we'll go earlier than that. There's that voice, okay? But I'm going to introduce everybody to her. And if you're listening to me nationally and you don't know the name, and I'll talk about this later in the interview, it's only because she didn't want to leave Texas for some reason or another. And I'm going to try to find out why. But anyway, my special guest tonight is Ashley Wood Tyler. I don't really have a problem with the name. I just said that as a joke. And we're talking about the power of women. That's right. Ashley Wood Tyler is a Texas woman fighter who literally worked her way up from the Super Pee Wee division to the adult women division. And she has over 20 years of competition under her belt, literally. You know, starting with Texas legend and teacher, Mr. Lewis Jones, you know, out of the Dallas area. She has won hundreds of tournaments and has many Golden Greek Awards. How many Golden Greek Awards do you have, Ashley? Let me just ask
I currently have six, but my husband and I, Matt, are running this year. So if I win at the end of the year, this will make seven, and I'll be tied for the most with Margaret Beasley.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about that. Anyway, the Golden Greek is the prize, well, I believe, as a historian of sport karate and also being from Texas, took me 17 years to win it, but nonetheless, I believe it's the most important fighting award that is recognized in sports karate in Texas by the amateur organization of karate, but basically any organization in Texas is the most important award. The Texas, you know, Sports Karate Association of Competitive Martial Arts is really interesting. It's called the AOK, and they've governed sport karate for all these years. Ashley has dominated, I'm not talking about winning, but dominated the women's division, okay? And we'll talk about her parents and their encouragement over the years and, you know, being married to a pretty darn good little Texas fighter himself, Matt Tyler. You know, he's a Golden Greek winner himself also. And also, I think he's going after it this year, as she said. You know, we'll also talk about the Golden Greek reunion in Galveston, Texas this year that's put on by the Sport Karate Museum on December 15th and 16th at the AOK State Championship. You know, the growth of her career in Texas and karate, you know, is the focus of the show and what she is going to do in the future. You know, she still competes and she's still a threat in the ladies division in 2018. But how long will she keep up the pace? You know, we'll ask her, okay? And enjoy this up close and personal interview with a karate lady all grown up before my very eyes, Miss Ashley Wood Tyler. Texas Sport Karate Animal, the female version, was Power of Women. That's right. Ashley, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Was that a pretty decent intro?
Yeah, it was. It was very braggy about me. I would never say those nice things about myself.
The only reason I did that, honestly, if your mom's listening, I want some brownie points because, you know, I've always wanted to impress your mom. So if June's listening right now, I want her to know that I did that for her. Okay.
Oh, you scored brownie points. She loves you.
So, now, we go back a long time, and we go back to when you used to beat up my son on a regular basis. And yeah. I'm going to tell that story real quick before I introduce you and you talk a little bit. When Ashley and my son would fight, who now Garrett's 26, and I think Ashley's what, you 25 or 26?
I'm 27. I just
How
turned
are you?
27.
You're 27,
I just turned 27
okay.
In May.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett never beat Ashley, and whether he could or not, it didn't really matter because one day, I was kind of a hardcore father, and I pulled him to the side. I said, "All right, Garrett, I'm tired of this. Why won't you?" And I was stuttering. I was so upset. I said, "Why won't you hit Ashley? I'm tired of this. Why won't you hit her?" And he goes, "He says, she's too pretty." Yeah, he thought the same thing about Stoney. Stoney meant she was the same way. He didn't want to hit her either. I don't know. We had a crush on you or, you know, I don't know what it was. But the point of it is, that's my fun story about my son and you. But anyway, you started with Lewis Jones. How old were you when
I
you
did.
Started with him?
I started when I was 2. It was about 18 days before my 3rd birthday, and Lewis had a sign up in front of his school in River Oaks that said he was accepting 3- and 4-year-olds. My dad said, "Hey, how do you feel about a shy, almost 3-year-old? And they took me in there and signed me up, and I've been 1994, and I stood behind my dad, and I wouldn't speak to Mr. Jones, and I was a shy, timid little kid that didn't want to move, and I barely peek out at him, but it only took one class, and I was out on that mat and a totally different kid in karate. Mr. Jones had that effect on me.
Wow. And who knew, I mean, that you turned out to be who you turned out to be? Now, that's one of the questions I want to ask you. Now, you started as a peewee fighting, and I know you did kata too. But you grew up in Texas karate, and you saw the people come and go, and you went through the different ranks. You kind of remind me of a – a female Tim Kirby, because Tim did the same thing, you know, Super Pee Wee all up to a senior. Of course, you're not a senior yet. And have you seen the fighting change a lot in the Texas women's division?
Oh, yeah. From being a kid and watching it to being in it now, it's changed. The game's changed, and it's always changing. The game's always evolving. And if you don't evolve with it, I mean, you get left in the dust. It's no longer you have some good techniques and you can counterfight. I mean, now it's one of those things where, you know, you got to be good at something and you got to be able to get in there and get your point, because if you don't, you're going to get steamrolled. I watched, like, Alinda Maxwell, and I mean, dominate people that she fought. And, you know, I grew up watching these really amazing women and I wanted to be them. And I remember being a kid and watching cricket. And I said, oh, I want to be her. She's so good. I want to be her. And so I always had really strong women to look up to. And even now as an adult, I still look up to them. But it's totally changed. The way that point fighting,
let me ask you a question. Did you, I'm going to throw some names at you. Have you ever seen, like, Christy Shawley fight and Amy Salian and those girls?
Yes.
Okay. And what makes them different than the fighters are fighting now? I mean, because you fought those, didn't you? Because you fought Regina. I mean, you fought a lot of women. I mean, I've got a magic question I'm going to say for a little bit later. But how those women fight differently than – and what I'm trying to say to you is this. I've got this question in front of me. I know everybody's probably confused. What in the heck is Gary Lee talking about? I know you've gone through all these different fighters and all these decades of women fighters. And when I mentioned Amy and Christy and even people like Margaret Beasley, how have you seen them change and conform? I mean, how did you conform to those fighters that through the years have changed?
You try to see what they're doing. That's the first thing. I mean, you always go in with a game plan when you're fighting somebody. And watching them as a kid, like, by the time I got to be an adult, they hadn't, and I don't want it to sound rude, but they hadn't changed with the time as much. You know, it's hard to get out of your habits. It's very hard to get out of habits that you've had for years that have worked. But coming up, and especially for me, fighting boys like James and Charlie Davidson and, you know, Jack Cannon, fighting these older boys that were blitz. I mean, that's what they worked off of. They worked off of fast feet and fast hands. It makes you fight everyone else differently. And those women, they have a certain style. It's a very old school style. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. But, you know, I'm able to adapt and go in and be able to fight a little bit differently and come in with a mix of that old and new, which I think made me more successful than had I just stuck to old school karate like I had as a kid.
Right. You know, we both have a hero. You know, I hope he's listening. I hope he does listen, because I want to talk about him for a minute. We're talking about Tony Hatcher. And
my brother.
Well, he's your brother, but he's my adopted son. I mean, he used to come and do all my shows, whether they were in a bar, in an alley, in a mall, on a stage. I mean, it didn't matter. Tony Hatcher, he was half black belt, will travel. Now, how did he affect your life? How is Tony a part of Ashley's life?
So I met Tony my very first year at State. It was 1995. Yeah, that'd be right. It was 1995. And my first year to go to State, I lost. And I didn't want to bow out. I didn't know how to take it. I was this little 4-year-old kid that, you know, didn't understand. I went crying to my mom. And I'm just like, I just don't understand. And he followed me and he sat me down. He told me how good I was for 4 and that I could do anything I set my mind to. And he ended up talking to my parents, and we found out that he was living in DFW, and we set up some times, and I ended up having him be my personal trainer from 4 years old on. And, you know, you grow a relationship, and Tony molded me into the female version of him. Not that everyone would say that's a good thing, but he affected everything in my life. I mean, everything I did, I wanted Tony to be proud of me. I still do, even to this day. You know, he's the closest thing I have to a sibling, because I don't have any. And growing up, that was Bubba, that was brother. And even today, you know, if I do something really well, I want him to know about it, because he gets credit, because he taught me what I know. He said, "You're going to be a kicker. Let's work on your legs. You're going to be a good kicker." And so we came up with a game plan.
Well, let me brag about him for one more time, too. I know it's about you, but I got to brag about Tony for a minute. Tony would do anything I asked him to do. I'd give him an idea, and he would do it. It was that simple. And one year at Super Grands in San Antonio, I want to say it's 96, I think. Anyway, they wanted me to open up the Super Grands, and I want to do something really spectacular. So I put almost 100 kids, that's right, 100 kids on stage. And I had Tony do the, basically in charge of the eclectic part, you know, where everybody who, like David Douglas, and because creative was new then. It was a new thing, you know, to be creative and do all the incredible stuff that they did. And I said, Tony, I want you to take this group, which was David. It was an incredible group, man. David Douglas and all those guys, Ron Searles, who, you know, and these guys were great black belts. But I said, Tony, I want you to put them together and put something. And we did music, and we opened up Super Grand. But my point is, Tony could do anything I asked him to do, and he could form, you know, his karate. He was an incredible fighter, too. So I'm glad we got to talk about him for a minute. Yeah. Now, you're chasing something that I want to talk about for a moment. And I mentioned earlier in my show, you know, people don't understand, unless you're from Texas, how important the Golden Greek Award is. It took me 17 years to earn it. You've won 6 of them, and you're going to pursue 7. That's amazing.
Right.
What makes you decide to go after that 7th one? Not just to tie Margaret, but what's your desire?
Besides having the most, that's been the thing I've always said from the very first year that I ran, that I wanted to be the female that goes down history as having the most freak wins. But other than that, it's my students. I want them to see that what I'm asking them to do is things that I can do. And I think that
you're telling
there, showing
me that if you win it this year, you'll tie with Miss Beasley, and then you want to go for one more year to beat it.
Right.
Is that okay. That answers my
question.
Maybe
not next
about
year, but eventually, yeah. Eventually, yeah.
That's really interesting. That's cool. So tell me about Matt. How'd you meet that guy? Tell me about Matt.
Matt and I.
All I knew was he was a pretty darn good middleweight fighter. And the next thing I know, you guys were hooked up. Next thing I know, you guys were married. Goodness gracious. Tell me about Matt. How'd you meet Matt?
So Matt and I met, we were in the 14, 15th junior black belt division. And he showed up to some tournaments, and I didn't like him very much then. All he did was kata, you know, one of his original instructors is William Shelton. And so William Shelton is amazing, you know,
those kata fanatics. I don't understand them. Hint,
hint, hint. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Well, that was Matt when we met. And I did not like him very much. He didn't like me because I beat him every time. And that was hard to swallow, getting beat by a girl. And eventually, and when we were 18, we'd become friends by that point. And we'd become friends, and we were able to say, hey, well, maybe we should try our hand in a relationship. Let's see what goes on here. And
I understand. Look, Ashley, this is Uncle Gary. This is Uncle Us. Listen, I understand all that. I want to understand, how did you guys get hooked up? How did you guys get married? That's great. I think that's super.
Yeah, we got married in 2012, and so we've been married 6 years. We'll be together 9 in November, Now we even work together. We own our own school together, and that's what we were doing tonight, and Matt was finishing up classes. And we opened that in January, and so actually doing it together has been, I would say great for our marriage because it gives us the ability to creatively butt heads, but in a good way and about something we both love.
So you have a open commercial school, is that what you're, right now?
We do.
Oh, great. Where's it located at? What part of Dallas?
It's in Blue Mount, Texas. It's a little suburb outside of Fort Worth. We teach in a community center in Blue Mount. We teach for low-income families. Our rates are, our tuition's really inexpensive, and we allow it to be something that every family can do, so price isn't an issue.
Well, that's great that you're successful in the business. Now, I'm going to hit you with something that you've probably never been asked before. So I know this is a new question because when we did the pre-interview, I didn't ask you this question. You're part of the history, whether you realize it or not now. You are. Just because you started at a Pee-wee division in the early, a few years back. And now you're trying to create history by becoming, you know, the Golden Greek winner and surpassing that. I got to ask you something. How important to you is the Sport Karate Museum in the history, in the archives, and the work I've done for 20 years? How important is it to you personally to know that you're going to be remembered as one of the great fighters of Texas? I know your ego's intact. I know you're one of the sweetest, humble girls I've ever met. But I'm going to ask you on the spot, in front of thousands of people that listen, that question. What's it like to know to be remembered?
It's an honor. I mean, you don't want to ever brag on yourself. You always, you know, we teach everybody to be humble, but it feels good to know that even when I'm long gone, out of karate or you know, whatever, there'll be something to show that I was there. I think it's important for anyone who has done anything that has meant anything to martial arts to be in it. I mean, it's a living archive of some of the greatest things that have ever happened to karate. And I mean, I would never say that I should fall into any of those categories, but to know that I do, it's humbling and I feel honored and I love it. And I think that everybody should look into it and see it and know your history and know where you come from and know these people that, you know, people talk about. You know, if I talk about somebody to my students, I want them to go be able to look it up. And with Sport Karate Museum and everything else, they can.
Well, you know, I know this. I know that there's names out there that people know on a worldwide basis. But the shows that I've gone to and I've laid out pictures, people have come up to me and personalities are very high respected in the martial art community. The general public doesn't know or even care who these people are. And it doesn't matter about names. It matters that in general, they don't care. So I believe in education, Ashley, and I believe that you are part of what I'm doing this year in the power of women, in the sense of, I know that you have a small conflict because you got a AOK event that's committed on that same weekend. And I support our dear friend Myron. What a great guy. In fact, we're both honoring Mr. Mackin. He's giving away a Rooster Mackin recognition. And Troy Dorsey and Mr. McCallum are receiving my Rooster Mackin award. So, you know, we stay having the same heart. But my bottom line is, I know that you can't probably come this weekend or that weekend in September, but how do you feel about putting together 35 all black belt women to test four men? It's never been done before. And just have an event where all the women are honored and respected. Doesn't matter about age or rank. It's just the power of women, the grandmothers, the June Woods, the Betty Kirby. I'm serious. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the amazing women that got the competitors to the tournaments, that's who we're honoring this year, not just the great karate champions. How do you feel about that's happening? Put that together
lady,
those women.
Lady power.
Lady power.
Lady power all the way. It's you never think about it until it's on such a grand scale. And I think getting that many women together to celebrate each other is tremendous. I mean, if it
you know what, Ashley,
for
I can tell you this because you
awesome.
Kind of grew up on the tail end, of it. Back in the day, the women didn't just have to fight each other. Sometimes they had to fight men, of course, which you mentioned the
right.
Davisons. I mean, they're animals. Animals, man. I mean,
yeah.
You had to fight men, but not so much in terms, but back in the day, the women did. And then on top of that, the producers, they kind of thought the women were a joke. And they didn't want to buy the trophies for that division. And then people like Ed Parker and Alan Steen stood up and created a women's division and created the great Linda Denleys and the great Ashley Woods and the great Margaret Beasleys. And to me, Texas has produced some of the greatest women sport karate legends. The guys get all the credit for whatever reason. I don't know. But, man,
yeah.
I know that this year alone, that the statement that I'm making through the museum, there's an amazing group of women competitors that kicked butt around America for 50
what?
Years, man. Yeah.
Right.
It's really exciting. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go
well, listen, I'm going to take a small break here, and I'm going to bring you back on, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game. And
right.
The Legends Name Game is I'm going to throw some names at you, and you got about 2 minutes to talk about them and tell me how they affected your life and were part of you. And some of them we're prepared for, some of them I'm going to surprise you with, okay?
Oh, no.
Come on. If I have a lady on the show and I don't throw in a couple surprises, then I wouldn't have the listeners I have. Okay? Okay.
All right.
Stay tuned, Ashley. Don't go nowhere, okay?
All right.
Okay,
Mom.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm with the great Ashley. I'm having so much fun interviewing her. You got to understand, when you watch a child, and that's what she was when she came in my life. She was like maybe 5, 6 years old. And watch a child grow up to be one of the best women fighters you've ever seen. It's a thrill. It's what I live for and what I do with the Sport Karate Museum. Well, we're ready to do my favorite segment that we've been doing here for the past few weeks. And it's called Kicking with the Wolverine. Is Master Dean Piles on the line?
Yes, sir, here.
Well, the segment that we call I Don't Get It, I Don't Understand, and I'm not hollering. I'm just excited about the fact that I don't get it. I don't understand. And, we talked about a lot of subjects, and every week we will talk about various subjects. And one of the subjects that the Wolverine one and I, we wanted to talk about tonight was, it's interesting. What is a, I know it's a really universal question, but what is a black belt? What is a black belt? Well, I don't want to be contradicting here because most people that follow me and know what I do, I'm under a microscope. I realize that. And that's cool. I don't mind that. A few years back in 1999, when there wasn't any children black belts around, I put together Alan Steen, J. Pat Burleson, Skipper Mullins, Fred Wren, Linda Denley, Royce Young, Ed Daniel, Israel Robles, Vivian Med. I mean, 35 amazing living legends of sport karate. And I tested my son for black belt. Jim Harrison and Mr. Steen had never signed a child certificate before. I put him through 4 hours and it was tough. But he made black belt in front of those legends. And they didn't have to sign a certificate, but they did. Now, he was a child. And I put him through 4 hours of heck. And I don't want to be contradicting when I say what I'm about ready to say. I went to a tournament a few weeks ago, and I saw the black belt division. And because they didn't have enough judges there, they grabbed children black belts. These kids were 14, 15 years old, but they were black belts, and that's the reason why he grabbed them, and they were judging the adult division. There's something wrong with that. I don't get it. I don't understand. I understand that children black belts are everywhere, and I'm sure some of them deserve to wear that black belt. But we're not just talking about children black belts. We're talking about women black belts. We're talking about adult male black belts. What does it take to be a black belt judge? And that's the question on Professor Gary Lee's and Wolverine's question tonight. What does it take to become a black belt judge? Does it make a child just because he wears a black belt, or a young teenager because he wears a black belt, or a girl wears a black belt, or even someone that wears a pair of shorts and a T-shirt to wear, doesn't even wear a black belt? What qualifies someone to be a black belt judge or to be a black belt? Wolverine, your 2 cents.
Well, you know, first of all, just to attain a black belt, you should have a legitimate instructor. Hey, if you show up at a competition and you're judging, people should know where you come from. You know, that's my take. I don't even really know what to say about, you know, kids coming in and judging at a competition if they're judging adults, especially if they're judging adults, especially in kata. You got to have a sharp eye. But what's sadly enough in this world, people, they want to just say they're a black belt. They want to say, I'm a black belt. They want to say, I'm a master. I'm a this, I'm a that. But what's bad is these people don't have anything. For instance, they don't have anything like you and I have a rapport. I can tell my student, well, when I trained with Professor Gary Lee, this is what I expect. I have something to pass on, something to pass down. And there's
Let me interfere something. Here's the bottom line, and I might get some email on this. If you don't teach, and I'm explaining in American terms, but first, if you don't teach Kihan, Kata, Bunkai, and Kumite, you're not teaching Karate Do. And to transfer that to American instructors who are listening, Kihan is learning to say yes, sir, and no, sir, front kick, round kick, stances, all your basics. That's Kihan. Kata is prearranged movements of those Kihan movements to fight imaginary opponents. Real simple. You take those Kihan movements and it applies to making kata. You take Bunkai, which is the application of self-defense, and you take those kata movements and you form wazas to form your Bunkai to create self-defense. And then you take one Ippon, one technique, one Tameshi, and you develop Kumite. Because it's not about going out there fighting. It's about dropping the guy. And you have control, so you never drop the guy. But you could, but you don't. They forget the art. So without Kihan, Kata, Bunkai, Kumite, I don't care what you say you teach, you're not teaching Karate Do.
Listen. Right. But even one step further, Professor.
But if you don't teach that as far as becoming a black belt, that's my point. Are you
right,
a black belt?
Right.
Learn that? That's what I'm saying.
Well, no. No, you're not. But I can take that one step further. A lot of these guys teach jinjitsu. And, you know, jinjitsu is the art of smoke and mirrors. It's the art of illusion. And so what they do is they look like they're teaching Karate Do. They look like they're teaching Kata, Bunkai, Ippon. They look like they're teaching all of that because they can steal some techniques from this person, steal some techniques from that person. So their students come in, and the students think they're learning pure Karate Do. But these people have studied.
You know what, Wolverine. It's okay, because here's the thing, and I'll say this, just comprehend. In the beginning, it was Chinese, Japanese, Okinawan, Korean. It took years, 30 years or more, for them to even accept, to even say American karate. Well, what is American karate? American Karate is Ernie Libb, who formed the AKA. American Karate is Dan Anderson. American Karate is James Chapman. American Karate is Joe Corley. And that simply is taking the very best of their traditional values that they learned in the beginning from a traditional karate style, taking it and taking the best from that style and applying it and forming the American way, because that's what America way is. It's simply taking the best and forming the American way. Now, here's my point. My point is, as long as you've had that foundation and that in the beginning of Shotokan or Ishinryu or Shonryu or whatever, traditional karate do, or even taekwondo, traditionally, and you form that, then I understand that. I don't agree with it so much, but I understand it, to take the best and form the American way. Because now, if you get a Japanese person or a Korean person or an Okinawa person, they won't like it, but they'll recognize American karate. You know they will.
Oh,
they'll recognize
it. Yeah, no, I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking about people that self-promote and give themselves black belts without actually going through that training and try to appear like, even try to appear like they're an American karate do. You know, the difference is the people like Joe Corley, Mr. Corley, and people like that, they come up hardcore, training hard. What I'm saying is they have stories to tell. What about these guys that give themselves not only a black belt but a master rank black belt? What do they have to tell their students when they've dishonored their instructor just because they want the rank, not the training, just the rank? That's my point. What do they say to their students? What lineage do they have to pass on? Like I can say, like when I talk about Grandmaster Lewis, or you talk about, you know, Mr. Burleson, that these different people, they have left us something. They put a mark, their time into us, as you do with me, and cultivating a student so that when you've passed on, we have something to pass down that I received, that I took from you, that you gave me to pass on. That's what I'm saying. Where a lot of these guys nowadays,
so here's my next question. Here's my next question, Wolverine. Okay, we discussed on the black belt level, we've kind of gone different places. But now you've got these black belts who go through tournaments, and they've made black belt under so-and-so, so-and-so, and they're accredited to their mind that they're black belt. But yet they're going to a tournament, and they're not really qualified to judge, but yet they're judging. That is a problem, and it's always been a problem.
Right.
Because you can't filter it out. How would you filter that out? Would you have pre-clinics beforehand and handpick the judges? They won't do that. That's too time-consuming. So how do you filter out the guy that comes to the tournament who says he's a black belt and maybe not really is a black belt, but he's just there, but he's judging you because it's not been filtered out? Will that ever be cured?
I don't think that'll ever be cured, because competitions are making money and they need judges. And the problem is anybody can say they're a judge. Not everybody can say they're a competitor. Not everybody can say they're a world-class competitor, because you have to have skills to demonstrate that. Unfortunately, there is no skills test to be a judge. There are some judges out there that are super excellent. And I saw judges at the last few tournaments, I mean, really chewed. Now, these are good, solid center judges. They really chewed out their side judges, because they were saying, you know, where are you getting these scores? To me, that was impressive. But these guys were at one time top-level competitors, and now they're top-level center judges, and they're questioning these people, and they threw the questions out there to them. You know, hey, are you a real black belt? Because why are you questioning? I've seen those judges say to these people, are you seriously questioning me as a center judge? And, you know, these side judges, they're all over the place with the thing. They're not going by the rules, because, A, they don't know the rules, because, one, they don't care. They just want to be called a judge, because they think, again, it's like receiving a black belt or a master rank. It's about prestige and about that title instead of what it actually represents, and actually caring about that position and saying, I'm going to be a judge. I'm going to judge by the rules and give these competitors, no matter my personal opinion of these competitors, I'm going to give these competitors a fair shake and judge who's better on this day. They just judge on their opinion or what they feel like karate is, when some of them don't actually even know what karate is because they've not
really. You know what? All we can do is this. All we can do is this. Prepare yourself for being the best you can, and just prepare for that guy that
I
guess is making
flaws,
but you aren't expecting.
I try to tell my students, professor, what I try to do on that given day is I want to execute a performance that will make you proud, will make professor, or will make Grandmaster Lewis proud, and that the crowd sees and the crowd goes, man, that was amazing. I don't care win, lose, or draw. What, you know, the crowd is watching. The crowd knows who's done what. You know what I'm saying? So that's one
Absolutely.
Thing you can do to prepare. And just like you say, just try to go in there and give it your all and be the best. But, you know, you can't always leave your opinion of yourself up to the judges because, you know, you don't know who the judges are on that given day.
Well, here's what we'll leave with them, Wolverine. They're being watched. You black belts out there who are running tournaments and who are judging, you're being watched. Just kidding. Hey, Wolverine, thank you for this week. I'll see you next week with another subject. Okay, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. God bless you. I was talking with the Dean Piles, the Wolverine, kicking it with him. And what a great segment. We just get to talk our piece for a little bit, kind of like a looking at each other over a dinner plate and just kind of talking about things. I like that a lot. Anyway, we'll be back next week with Kicking with the Wolverine. Hey, Mark Shuey, did you make it on the line yet? Mark Shuey? Okay. I guess Mark didn't make it. I was going to talk about his beautiful cane that he does. And his opportunity. But for more information on the Cane Master, just look him up on Facebook, and that's Mr. Mark Shuey. He was an incredible NASCAR competitor, you know, and we talk about this all the time when we get together, is that, you know, we're known for knowing our katas and being creative and weapons, but people don't realize that we love to fight, and he really emphasizes that his reputation for all he does in kata. People forget that he was a great, great fighter. I don't forget it. In NASCAR, he was one of the best fighters they had. So we're sorry we didn't get him on the line, but if he does come on the line, just make sure you interfere or get on the line. Let me know you're there, Mark, okay? God bless you, buddy. Anyway, we'll bring him back on for the Cane Master segment in another show. I want to talk about this weekend that's coming up. Right off the bat, to all the people who follow the Sport Karate Museum and the radio show, I really want to say how much I really appreciate everybody's emails and time and phone calls. But, you know, August 3rd is actually my birthday. I'm turning 64 years old, and believe it or not, my black belts have put together a surprise birthday party for me, and I'm not going to be able to come to Washington, D.C. But Washington, D.C. is one of those spectacular events that's put on, like, once a year to honor legends in the martial arts. Auntie Jesse Bowen has put together a spectacular event, including a dinner and a banquet and awards to honor these people who are being put into the new Masters and Pioneers book, which he has graciously asked me to be on the cover. It is a tribute to Grandmaster Pat Johnson, who I love adorably, him and his lovely wife, Sue. And I'm so sorry I'm not going to be there to celebrate this celebration for you, Mr. Johnson. It's also going to be honoring Mr. Jun Ree in the passing of one of the great martial artists of our time. But some of the incredible guests that will be there that Hansi Jesse Bowen has pulled in from his array of amazing promoting is, wow, golly bum. Let me start off with the one and only Dan Severin, better known as The Beast, a UFC champion. Just a great guy. You learn so much from his seminar. The one and only, the Queen of Mean. I knew her as China O'Brien, and, of course, you know her as Miss Cynthia Rothrock. She will be there. And then a real samurai. I say that because he's actually wrote the screenplay and the character for the Memoirs of Samurai movie. We're talking about Mr. Dana Abbott. and he'll be doing his very streetwise seminar. The people have said the greatest kata taekwondo competitor ever, not just in the world, but ever, Mr. John Chung will be there. And without a doubt, the greatest woman fighter that ever lived, Miss Linda Denley, will be there. So that's going to be an amazing weekend at the Gaylord Beautiful Hotel. For more information, please contact Mr. Jesse Bowen, and you can contact him on Facebook or directly with the AMA Masters Radio online program. Right after that, following a month later, will be the incredible Kata Wars weekend and the Women's Symposium, as we were talking about earlier, the power of women. This will be starting Thursday night with a small press conference, but with the opening of the largest sport karate display in America. And, of course, Friday morning at 8 o'clock sharp, there'll be starting of the Women's Symposium with guest speakers Terry Lawson, assistant principal and administration in the school district, Phil Torres talking about gun control and gun consumption in Texas and gun attitude just to be able to carry a gun in the state of Texas. We'll be talking about Dean Piles and elite combat with his beautiful daughter, Alex Piles. We'll have special guest speakers who are architects, lawyers, doctors, engineers. This will be headed by Miss Darlene McPherson-Pagels, who had the vision to put together a group of women, not just karate champions, but amazing women in general to the public. This is the power of women on Friday, September the 28th. Now, next door will be for the guys who don't want to deal with the symposium. There'll be an hour, every hour on the hour, seminars for you guys, dealing from tactical combat to karate combat to knife combat to origami to a little bit of everything. So you'll be enjoyed. Plus, we'll have a huge expo. Now, at 4 o'clock, we'll be making history. We'll have the 30 all black belt women testing board. They'll be testing four men for their black belt. And this will be at 4 o'clock at the Hilton Galleria in Houston, Texas. For more information, please contact 713-483-0476. At 7 o'clock will be a fighters reunion in the opening of Kata Wars with Breaking, hosted by Mr. Larry Fields and Weapons, and an incredible PowerPoint by Mr. Alex Hogan talking about the new portals of Karate-Do for the Sport Karate Museum. Saturday morning will be Kata Wars. Kata Wars is the open tournament for the open competitors around the country. And at 1 o'clock, there's a super pro division that everyone's talking about. You have to have 100 first places just to be invited. This is Kata Wars pro division, and it's an incredible event to watch. That'll run straight through till 6 o'clock, and then it'll be the awards, the show, and the amazing roast of Mikey Roe Moore. And introducing the Jim Harrison's American Challenge, three-man black belt tag team sport fighting. That's right, the Living Legends 26, September the 28th and 29th. Mark that on your calendar. Now we're going to come back with our special guest, Miss Ashley. Ashley, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, still here.
Wow. I talk a lot still, don't I? Yeah, I remember that, your mom telling me that years ago. I forgot what tournament it was, but it was back in the 80s. She says, "You talk a lot, Mr. Lee. You talk a lot." Okay. So, by the way, how's your mom doing, by the way? How's she doing?
Oh, she's good. She's enjoying retired life. She retired from the school district last year and over the year before, and so she's enjoying being a retired school teacher.
Cool. Now, how do you feel about the AOK getting together with the Sport Karate Museum and creating a Golden Greek, probably one-time-only reunion? How do you feel about that?
I think it's wonderful. One, not only for us to get together with people that we haven't seen in a long time that have won the Greek Award, but also to educate people that are going to be at state that have no idea what the Greek Award even means. And that's unfortunate. And I think everyone should know, especially anybody who's ever won it.
Right.
So I think it'd be
exactly
good on a friendly level, because we'll get to see old friends and faces we maybe haven't seen, and also educational for everyone else.
Well, let me plug D.E. Chambers. What a great guy, and the new president of the AOK. Together, we've come up with an incredible weekend for you. We're going to have red carpet for you guys. We're going to have a contest, and we're going to pick out the two best stories that will tell Saturday night to the banquet, along with special guest speaker, Mr. Ishmael Robles, who knew Golden Greek very, very well. And we're also going to have the best kicker, best Golden Greek kicker, and the best Golden Greek puncher. And we're going to choose between the Golden Greek winners and the people there. We're going to choose who was the most entertaining Golden Greek performer. So it's not about who the best Golden Greek guy was, a woman or children or an adult or a senior was, but who was the best performer, the one that got you on the goosebumps to watch that person, you know, compete. I know a couple that gave me goosebumps, but I'll save that for Saturday night. Now, here's the thing that we're doing also that's a lot of fun, is that getting together, as you said, maybe for the last time, some of these Golden Greek winners are all grown up, and we really encourage you to contact D.E. Chambers or contact me and find out what's going on. And as I find out more, I'll tell you more. It'll be posted on the AOK Strong site and also on the AOK pages. But Ashley, you're one of the leaders by winning six of those. That's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible indeed. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot before I get to the Legends game. What was it like winning your first one, and what was it like winning your last one?
Well, my first one was 2004. It was the most special. I had been training with Grandmaster Burleson at that point, and he sat me down, and we had about a two-hour conversation where he told me stories about Demetrius and about Greek and what it meant to him and what it would mean to me to win and everything. And I think for me that it made it so much better. It was exhausting and tiring and everything else. And, of course, doing it the last time I did it was in 2015. It's much different being a teenager to an adult. But at the same time, it never loses that really it's such a different feeling to know where it comes from and why you're doing it. But it gets harder.
People don't understand, do they? They just don't understand. It took me for the first 7 years, from 81 to 7 years later, I lost it by 2 or 3 points, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I was so frustrated. And then when Wade Kirkpatrick asked me to come back and go after it, I didn't want it because I'd already done TNT and NBL and NASCA and, you know, I was tired. I was already doing USKF. I had no desire to get involved with the AOK again. But winning it, it rejuvenated me. It made me feel that I was part of Texas because it is the most important award, fighting award in Texas, just because the AOK is the oldest organization in Texas. And you know, the neat thing about it too, Ashley, is that that's the part of you I really, really respect you. I respect you as you are, as a great fighter, as a great lady, as a good friend, someone I've watched grow up. But, man, I respect you so much that you've won six of those. That's incredible. It really is. And,
thank you.
I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you. I got to, before we do the Legends, I got to hit you with this story because it's my favorite Golden Greek story. Now, we're very close to Tim Kirby. We watched him grow up, and I mentioned early he did the same thing that you did, working from peewee all the way up to senior, winning his state championships. And one night, Garrett and I used to go over there to his house before we'd do a tournament in Austin, and we'd stay up all night. We'd watch Golden Greek fights and Raymond fights and, you know, all those great guys in Dallas in the early days. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And Garrett gets up, and he's like 7. You know, he's tiny. And he gets up, and he's sleepwalking. And he's going, bam, 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 bam. You know, he's just sleepwalking, but he's doing karate. And he goes in front of the television set right there when Greek was fighting, and he's doing all this karate kata. And then he turns around, goes in the bedroom, and he goes to sleep. Well, Tim stays up all night. I mean, it haunted him. This is a true story now. Stayed up all night, and that next morning, he's sitting at the table, and Marion, at the time, he was with Marion Kirby, and she was making coffee for us. And I get up, I'm sleepy eye, and Tim, I said, Tim, wouldn't you go to bed? He said, I didn't go to bed. I said, why didn't you go to bed? He said, well, I've been thinking about what Garrett did. I said, okay, cool. So Gary gets up, and Tim goes, go give me that blue bag. Remember that blue bag he carried everywhere, right? And in it, he had the very first Golden Greek patch that he got in 1981. And he carried that patch everywhere with him, okay, everywhere. And he said, Garrett, bring me that bag. And Garrett brought the bag over there. And he said, Garrett, come sit on my lap. So Garrett went and sat on his lap. And he reached down and grabbed that patch. And he said, last night you did something that really made me think about who you are. Now, mind you now, that's just when he's 7 years old, before he tested for black, okay, before he tested in front of all those guys. He said, there's something special about you, and I want you to have this. You know what this means to me. Of course, he didn't really understand. I had to explain it to him, and he took the patch. Now, when I explained it to him, now you know Garrett since he was tiny, right? He goes,
right.
Dad, I can't wear that on the out of my gi. I can't. People think that I want. So basically, his mother talked him into the sewing on the inside of his gi. So for all those competitions that he did as a child, he had the inside of his gi, he had the Golden Greek patch that Tim Kirby gave him. And
wow.
To me, that was so special because here's Garrett now, like you, you know, a Texas, you know, sport karate hero to a lot of people. And you all started at a tiny, tiny age. And it all started with Greek and Tim Kirby and the legacy of what he did. And we're all part of that. And that's what the Golden Greek Reunion is about, you know. Stories like that, and I'm sure you got stories that you heard from Mr. Burleson. It's very special. So, anyway, thank you for letting me share that with you. I know it's your show. Hey, let's do some
No, I love
stuff.
It.
You ready? Here
all
we
right.
go. Let's
I'm
do the
right.
first
I'm,
one.
I think I'm
Here
ready.
Here we go. Are you ready?
I think okay. so.
Here we go, the first one. Margaret Beasley.
Oh, man. I loved watching Margaret fight. Margaret was a tough lady. Now we have a different kind of relationship since I'm an educator and she's an educator. I see her as not just a phenomenal woman in karate, but, I mean, someone who's touched lives outside of it in education, which is major. She's awesome.
So what about her other half, Bob Beasley, Judge Bob Beasley? Tell me about Mr. Beasley.
Oh, I remember when he was president of the AOK, and and being out for years, and he came back and he was president, and you know, and I always had good fights and good rivalries with his people, like Cassie Hendon, and you know, and I had Kerry, and so you know, I had people that trained with him.
Well, how about who was your toughest fighter that you ever fought in the years that you fought? That's a hard question, I know. So I'm going to tell you, you tell me a legend that you fought that was really tough. Did you ever fight Linda Denley?
I did not. Thank goodness. She'd have killed
okay,
me.
Okay, but you did fight Regina Thompson. You did fight Regina Thompson, didn't you?
Quite a few times I have, yes.
Well, tell me about those fights.
For every maybe one fight that I win against Regina, she beats me about 10 times. And I'm okay with that because I learn something every time I fight her. She is what I call our new age Linda Denley. And her name carries weight everywhere she goes. And she's not only one of the nicest competitors I've ever competed against, but just an all-around really genuinely nice person. And I know when I step across from her in the ring, yeah, we're going to have a good fight, but she's going to respect me as I respect her at the end of the day.
Now, didn't you fight on the same team at one time?
We have. We fought together a couple of times at Lone Star, the NASCAR tournament, and then we fought together a couple of times at Bob Beasley's United States Championships. We fought on team together. Which
well, I saw.
I love
a picture of you guys. You guys holding a checkup where you guys won some money. A picture of you and her together. Where was that tournament at? Where was that tournament?
So that had to be Bob Beasley's tournament. It had to be.
Okay.
We fought twice together there, and we fought together twice at Lone Star. So we fought together on a team about four times, and it's always fun.
Now you did kata too for a while. Who were some of your toughest women kata competitors you had to go against? You ever go against Eva Marias?
No. Toughest competitor I've
Linda had. Maxwell? You said you mentioned Linda. Did you
Linda
have to compete against
yeah,
Linda?
Even when I was barely into women's. I mean, I was like 18, 19. She was still competing, and she was tough. And kata, because she always had a clean kata, and she's a hard sparring competitor, makes you up your game. But yeah, she's a tough kata competitor. Other than that, Martha Garcia competed against her and Sam. They're tough kata competitors. Always, they do clean, beautiful katas.
Martha still fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, she trains with Willie and Garrett and all those animals that hang out in my garage. Absolutely. Did you have, you did compete against Martha at one time?
Yeah. Me and Martha competed against each other quite a bit, especially the years that she ran Greek. We were together a lot. It wasn't years that I was running, but competed against her, and then when her daughter Samantha became an adult. And we were all, that I had Samantha and Martha would moved up. So I went from mother to daughter.
Now, we'd already talked about Mr. Beasley and what a great producer and promoter he was to go to the U.S. Championships. But who was your favorite producer in all the years you competed? Who's the producer that really treated you really special? Put you
Nelda.
On the spot.
Nelda Edwards. Well, now Nelda Adams.
From the age of three,
Nelda's looked out for me. She's been like my other mom. I mean, she would take care of me at tournaments if we were in Austin.
That's Tony Hatcher's mom.
Yeah.
Everybody's listening.
Right.
We talked about Tony Hatcher earlier. That's Tony Hatcher's mom. Yeah. I can see her adopting you. Absolutely.
Yeah,
well, you know, I've
got to
hit you with this show is called Parts Unknown. And I wouldn't be happy unless I asked you a hard question, okay? So I'm going to ask you a hard question. This year, there was a major change in the AOK with, eight or nine producers actually leaving. But they were replaced by incredible people like Zufi Ahmed and Tony Torres, some other people. How do you think that's going to affect the AOK? Is it going to be... I mean, I tell you right now, I know that it's very incredible what's going on in the AOK right now. I see the producing and the tournaments upscaled. I see the website really has increased since we got involved with Michael Dietrich and he changed it to the AOK Strong. I see DE Champions with Vision. But how do you feel?
I miss everyone that left. It's a double-edged sword. Because you grow up with these tournaments that have been around forever, and then they're just gone, and the producers, you're not seeing them all the time. They become like another family to you. But at the same time, I think we're kind of ushering in a new age. Maybe we'll be ushering in another group of maybe younger producers or, people that have new ideas for ways to even uplift the AOK more and draw more people in and keep it going for another 40 years.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate your opinion, and I appreciate you answering that question for me. Hey, I'm just curious, did Mark Shuey ever get on the line? Mark? I guess Mark didn't make it. Have you ever seen the Cane Master, Ashley? You know who I'm talking about?
I have seen videos. I have a cane, I want him to teach me how to use it.
Well, I think he's going to come to the event this year. I feel bad that he didn't get on the air. We'll get him on next week, though. So, listen, thank you for playing the Legends Name game and asking the questions and just being overall the sweet little lady that you are to be on my show. And, I appreciate your history. And I wish you the best in pursuing the Greek this year and tying with Miss Beasley. Let me ask you a question. How many more tournaments are there before the end of the year?
Let's see. Eight or nine that are left.
How are you looking the standing right now?
First across the board. And really right now nobody's close to the points that I have yet.
Okay, so right now I'll make a challenge. Anybody want to step up and – go after Ashley and her title against the Greek. Give her some competition, okay? Come on, man. Come on. I know you're sitting on your couch and you want to fight. Come on. She wants to hit somebody, honestly. When I call her animal, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, man, Ashley can fight. You still got that front leg round kick?
It's still bread and butter.
It is. I mean, I've seen.
It is.
I lost count every time you low high round kick my son in the face. You're gonna be mad at me saying that. That you know, that's a pretty fast kick you got. I like that. So, have you found out one more thing before I get you off the air? Have you found out that the fighting not only changed, but has it gotten more fun for you as you got older?
It has in a way. It's different when you're a kid and a teenager. You're so hyped up when you're fighting that it's pure adrenaline at that moment, and sometimes you totally lose what you're doing. And it becomes more fun as an adult because it's for me, it's less stress now. It's just an outlet now, and so I like getting out there and being able to fight and roll with some ladies.
How do you push the envelope every weekend though? Go after the Greek, because you get to go after the Greek, you got to go after about 40 tournaments a year. Do your job, be married, you know, deal with Matt, deal with competition, run the school. How do you keep the edge to be a competitor like that? I'm just curious. Talk to me.
Competition, actually. Doing the tournaments kind of keeps me going. And when you do them every weekend, or you have them pretty much every weekend, it helps. And then, I mean, we have karate and that, you know, teaching, even when you're just teaching, it's still doing something. And then we get time to work for ourselves and weekends off. We go and train and do stuff. We'll get together in Waxahachie at Lone Star and have a sparring night or sparring day and try to stay on track. Luckily, my marriage kind of goes hand in hand with karate because we both enjoy and love doing the same thing. So I don't feel like I'm losing time in one area of my life picking karate over anything else.
Well, let me ask you a question. And, you know, this is kind of personal. If I'm lucky enough to have a mother listening to me right now, and her daughter just happened to listen to the radio show, and she's listening, and maybe she's a karate student, what would you tell that young girl to inspire her to be able to do karate as long as you have?
Don't give up. Never give up and never think you're second best to anyone, whether it be a man or another lady. You always believe in the things that you're going to do and stick with it. It's going to be hard sometimes and it's going to suck and you're going to get hit, but it's coming back from that and being able to learn what you did wrong because you're going to make mistakes and learn how to get better and just stick with it, grind it out, find friends. You'll make karate family that will stick with you for the rest of your life and always have your back. And it's an amazing family to have because no one else is going to understand you like they do. Just stick with it because it doesn't matter how old the little girl is or how long she's been in it. She has every opportunity to be the best in the world and the best at what she does. She's just got to have that support system behind her.
Well, I think that's a great answer coming from a great champion. And I just couldn't have a better answer, honey. Thank you so much for answering that question and being on the show tonight and giving inspiration to the women who are listening and to the men who need to be inspired to realize that we couldn't have done nothing without you guys in our lives. Nothing. You know, the best way to explain it, Ashley, I think you'll like this, is that a tree, a guy, me, any guy, we'll walk in that tree, we'll hit our head, bam, and we'll walk around it and turn around 2 hours later, we'll walk in that tree again. Now, woman, you'll walk up that tree, look at it, touch it, feel it, smell it, talk to somebody who's next to it and say, is that tree here? Walk around it again, make sure nobody is going to walk into it, walk and tell people about it. You're complicated, but you're fun. And add karate to that. It's amazing what women have turned out to be. And I'm so honored to honor these women in September. And I'm so glad, even if you have to go to Marin's, God bless you. I hope you have a great time, but you're there in spirit, as you know. Okay.
All right.
Please tell your mom I said hello too, please, okay?
I will. I will. I'll let her know. Thank you for having me on.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
Oh, God bless you. And I'll put it on your page so you can post it if people didn't get to listen to it tonight, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, honey. God bless you. Take care.
You too.
Hey, we're
Thanks.
Sitting here
Bye.
And talking to Ashley, and we've had a great interview with this young lady. You know, I've got some interesting people coming up in August. August 7th will be Mr. Robert Parnham, actor, producer, and director. And then on the 14th, Mr. Johnny Hunter of Shotokan fame. On the 21st of August, Ms. Rodney McKee, who has the largest karate studio in America in square footage. And also on the 28th, Mr. Larry Fields, my last of the AOK producers and introduction. And, of course, on September the 4th will be Dr. Cameron Jahabzadeh, surgical surgeon and emergency surgeon, and 7th will be Black Belt. On the 11th, Sifu Martin Jerry from Bangkok, Thailand. That's right, all the way from Bangkok, Thailand. We'll be producing our show then on the 11th of September. On the 16th, I've got a special guest. I've got Mr. Harry Mock, Steve Barber Harry, and a special surprise guest there'll be on the Coffee with the Masters. And on the 23rd, the Artifact Show. And this is right before Kata Wars. So stay tuned for the AMA Masters Radio and Blog Network. On behalf of Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum, don't forget our fundraiser on Facebook. You can contact Sport Karate Museum and check it out. Incredible pictures and video. Please stay tuned. We'll see you next week. And as always, we say to everybody, mahalo and aloha.